We're checking back in with folks from Work Inc. and NeighborWorks Housing Solutions to get a little update on how the new house in Germantown is going. It's now providing a home for folks who are hard of hearing, and was a ribbon cutting ceremony virtually and certainly socially distanced not too long ago. So we want to welcome today from NeighborWorks Housing Solutions, Donna Ackerman, and from Work Inc., Rohan Wickramatne, the Vice President of Residential Services. So Donna, Rohan, nice to meet you both. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Nice to meet you too. Thanks for inviting us.
Yes, absolutely. And we're also providing sign language through our interpreter here, because we thought if we're doing a program about a home for folks who are hard of hearing, that they really should be able to watch the show and learn about it and find out what's being said about it. So we appreciate the services of Julie for providing our interpretation here as well. Maybe we can start with you, Donna, and chat a little bit about NeighborWorks Housing Solutions. First of all, its mission, I guess, its goal, its stated purpose, if you will.
NeighborWorks Housing Solutions is a 35, maybe almost 40-year-old organization that's basic goal is to provide safe and decent housing for people who perhaps cannot reach that goal on their own without some sort of assistance. But one of our sort of sub-goals of the mission of neighborhood housing is to provide housing, stable housing for people in what we call special populations. So we have housing for people who are formerly homeless. We have housing for people who are moving from domestic violence shelters. And we have housing for veterans. Many different populations. And we also have a house in Quincy that we work with, have a partnership with Work Inc. already, that was designed for people with developmental disabilities and now houses deaf folks also.
How long would you say NeighborWorks and Work Inc. have been partners?
That's a good question. I tried to think back, and maybe Rohan, we can agree on this. I think about 15 years. Is it possible it's been that long?
So you and I got to know each other in 2009 when we acquired the South Shore Deaf Residential Services from the Advocates Agency.
Yes.
And DDS transferred that contract to us at the time. And then when we did that, you know, one of the houses belongs to NeighborWorks Housing in Morton Street House was already in that program. So then we took over that program, and that's where I initially made contacts with you. That is a accessible house for different hard of individuals. And that's where we started the working with the, that's how I started working with the NeighborWorks Housing, the Work Inc. initially. So our relationship is started from that point.
Okay, it really seems like a kind of a natural collaboration, right? You've got folks that need housing, and then of course they need employment, a source of income. So put your agencies together, and it's really full service.
Sure, and from our point of view too, Work Inc. provides all the services to the tenants. And that's something, well, we develop housing, and we think we do a pretty good job at that. We don't provide services to individuals that they have the expertise to do. So it's a great partnership.
So it's been a little while now since the home in Germantown has opened. How is it going over there?
So it's going great. You know, if I go back to those days, 2009, so we got to know each other. There were a lot of other stuff we need to do to maintain those housing and for the tenants. And Donna and started working on those rental recertification, the paperwork, and through that, that's when I realized that, you know, that this is a good resource of information and then housing stock, that whether I should be inquiring about any more housing opportunities for the folks that we provide services. So we continue to start getting referrals from different agencies, primarily from Departmental Development Services and from other DMH and MCB. So what we are running out is the houses that actually requires a certain type of facility modification, accommodation needs for the specialized individuals, particularly folks who are deaf and hard of hearing. So we had a conversation in 2017, initial conversation. That resulted in opening the Bicknell program in Germantown. So I believe that is the first house in the state of Massachusetts, a state-of-the-art built for folks who are deaf and hard of hearing, requiring mobility requirements. So house has been open for the last, for the 3-4 months right now, and then during these real difficult days, that actually came in real, real handy, because house is very spacious, open concept. People stayed home for the last, still most of the folks in that house are staying home 24/7, because normal environment folks who are there usually go to day programs. So right now, the day program being closed or capacity being minimized, some of the folks are continuing to stay there, because day program try to accommodate the Governor Baker's opening plans right now at this phase two, about 25%. So then the agencies pick and select the most capable individual to attend those programs. So basically that leaves folks who are a little bit more, you need to provide support. So those folks tend to stay home. So some of the folks in that program sort of fall into that category. So we've been providing 24/7. Just imagine that, you know, you've been there since like August, you know.
Yeah, maybe September.
7. But the house, it's because it is a large, spacious house. So that provides them with a little bit more the freedom to be just to have to exercise, to go around, to even walk around. You know, there's a nice yard. So the folks, the house was built for the folks who are deaf and hard of hearing. That house has all the bells and whistles that it requires, specifically built for that population, which has the a component that they can stay there safely in an emergency such as fire. They be notified through a flashing fire alarm systems as opposed to sound fire alarm. And then if they are sleeping, each bed is hooked up to a bed shaker, which shakes, which connected to the fire alarm system. When it goes off, it shakes and people wake up. You don't have to go and wake them up. And in addition to this, you need to understand the folks who work there are also deaf and hard of hearing. So it
That's interesting. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Because we have to provide individuals communication in their natural setting. So in order to provide that natural language accessibility, that is only can be provided through folks who are excellent in ASL, American Sign Language, which is the primary language. So the poor folks who are deaf and hard of hearing will have that ability. So then they are in their natural environment. We do have few folks who are hearing and excellent in ASL. They do work over there as well. So, and the house need to be accommodating to both individuals and staff, both are deaf. So, and that is one safety-wise. You know, the house has a wide hallway, so people who are in wheelchairs, they can easily navigate around the house. And the corners are round as opposed to square. So that provides you with an open concept. You have to improve the visual aspect of the house as opposed to hearing aspect. So the staff need to make sure that individuals are in eyesight at all times. And also you can see they have 5 individuals there in that house. Those 5 bedrooms also have 5 exits from those bedrooms. And the house built with that side of the house where the bedrooms are with a wraparound porch and large enough for us to just take the bed out of the house instead of transferring individual from bed to a wheelchair in an emergency to improve time. So it's a useful rule of thumb, and it's a 2.5 minutes we need to evacuate someone if there's a fire emergency. So 5 individuals who have some mobility issues and at night who are deaf, when fire alarm goes off, with 2 staff assistants, all of them can get out of the house within 2.5 minutes. So facilitate that we can just open the back door and take some of the individuals while they are sleeping on the bed, roll the bed right out of the house all the way to the parking lot. The house was built for that. Not every house has that. So, and that way that reduced the staffing capacity. Otherwise you need to have a 3-4 staff in an emergency that they may need to be assisted one-on-one basis. This will eliminate that process. And then house has a, it has electronically fully equipped with the Wi-Fi and internet access and which provide the communication access, which is the video phone system there. So when you are to make a phone call, you can make the phone call to that house just like you're making a phone call to anyone else. There's an interpreter between that you wouldn't even know. It's a seamless process. So that's the technologies, you know, they have. So individuals can access, they can make a phone call, and when they dial, there's a screen, interpreter shows up, and then they talk to the interpreter, interpreter will talk to the person on the other line. So that system has been set up over there. And every single room and the bathrooms and living room areas are equipped with a ceiling track system. When people are mobility impaired, it is easier for them to transfer from one point to the other. So the toilet to the shower, to the bed, to the wheelchair, wheelchair to the couch, without having to transfer them from wheelchair always. You know, they can be, especially it's coming in handy when you are taking a shower. So like you go to the bath, the toilet, and then from toilet to the bathroom, it's easy transition. And also it makes it easier for staff to assist people with dignified manner. Every toilet has been equipped with something called the self-made bidet, or we call a Sanicare toilet, which is the toilet seat itself provide a self-washing and drying. So it's a dignified way of providing services to someone who's mobility impaired. So you don't have to personally intimately involve with that kind of support. So the house has that. And house has certain other flashing lights, like, you know, if there are certain doors, like a bedroom doors, individual if who are mobile, if they happen to open the back door and walk out, it is being notified to the rest of the staff by three more different type of flashing a signal, so they would know, okay, this room, that door open, there is a monitor in the office, you know, it'll say which door opens. So when you think about all of these things, so this has to be really thoughtful to build a house. And then we, not all five individuals are mobility impaired, some of them, but the house is built, if they become mobility impaired down the road, they can continue to stay there without going to any other facility or a nursing homes or anything. So our mission is to keep individuals without sending them to nursing homes to the best of our ability, because we become their family and we are the support services to the folks. So when they really need the most, most actually closest service, they have to be with us. So we cannot send folks to somewhere else that people don't know about them.
So it's incredibly well planned and thought out specifically for these people. Donna, how was this actual property chosen for this project?
Well, this is initially when Rohan was talking about, we had a conversation. Here was the conversation at the beginning. Donna, do you think we can do some more houses? I said, yeah, I think we should. I think we can. So that was the beginning of, let's bring this to our development committee and see what we can do. We bought a large piece of property in Germantown that has a house on it, a single family house. Our original plan was to take down that single family house and to spread this building sort of out all over that lot. But we have a family living in the house who certainly didn't want to be displaced. And, you know, it's our job to help people stay housed. So we were just happy to be able to reconfigure the lot and keep the family in the front and put a fence in the backyard and build this beautiful house in the back. One thing I wanted to follow up on, though, when Rohan talks about all the bells and whistles, these are great and important things that are, you know, in every, I guess, state-of-the-art facility or institution, but this house feels nothing like a facility or an institution. This house feels like a home. And it is set up so that there's a communal dining room, a kitchen, a living room. And those things, especially had we ever envisioned a pandemic, those things make people feel, just like all of us, more comfortable, more room to spread out, rather than just staying in their rooms like they might in a different kind of setting. So it's been great since it's been open. You know, we've had our usual little issues, tweaking the heating system and things like that, but things are going, I would say, really well.
How were these residents selected to live in this home? What was that process?
So the working primarily works with the Department of Developmental Services. And then what happens is we get referrals from the DDS. So they'll ask us, oh, we have an individual in a certain disposition, and then would you be able to provide services? So we will then send a proposal about, you know, the based on our ability to house the person, where the person should go. And so based on the person's disposition and what kind of a support services, whether it's involved increased clinical support, the health and welfare support, or the social aspect. So based on that, you know, we customize a service support system and then let them know this is where we can put this person in and service. So before, when I started talking about it, we do have six other residential group homes in Quincy. And two of them are right now with the NeighborWorks Housing in the Morden Street project in the Germantown. Other four, out of four, two of them are leased from the Quincy Housing Authority. And then the other two are, we own our own properties, you know, sort of in Quincy. So when you think about it, we always have to modify existing housing stock to facilitate the folks who are disabled, particularly when it comes to deaf and hard of hearing. So we having to continuous to facilitate that. If the house, basically we have when they are young, basically a lot of colonial style, Victorian style houses, you know, that those are eventually, they won't be able to provide the support when they become mobility impaired. So then we have to modify the bathrooms, accessibility, and then we have to modify the house with the fire alarm system to bed shakers and all these things. So they continue. So somehow, sometimes we have to move people because it's no longer facilitated. So this house, we want to make sure that they can continue to live there just like other people, like forever in the same house. So we had a house in one of the houses that requiring people with more accessibility. That was one of those reasons that prompted me to have the conversation. So can we have a house so we can build, we can move those folks to this house so they can continue to live there. So that resulted in this. And we had, the house was built for five people and we had four individuals to move in. But the, one of the interesting stories, years back, 2000, similar time about 2000, I can't remember, 14 and 15, there's a DMHer, there's an individual who had been in institutionalized for the last 30 years of her life. You know, they basically either one hospitalized place to another hospitalized place. So they have been attempting to get this person into the community life, but no one had been sort of willing to do that. So when they put out an RFI, request for information, so I responded and set up, that was way before we started talking about this house. So that person was, you know, myself and the DMH in contact, you know, we have the deaf population, we can easily accommodate this person in the existing population, we've been talking. And then this house came to play 2 years after. So we were able to get that person as the fifth person to the house. So that person moved in about a month after we moved the rest of the individual. First time in her life, she's experiencing community life with like-minded peers and completely ASL environment. And of course, there are some transitional issues, you know, that when you think about someone being used to work, living in an institution, in a locked doors and stuff, to all of a sudden experience the freedom and the life, and they can make decision on their own. And so that is one of those greatest things that we were able to offer
That's an amazing story. Yeah, that's life changing for that person and for that person's family too. I am sure, you know, to be able to see them thrive like that.
Right, and then it is a collaborative effect, effort between the DMH, the DDS, and the NeighborWorks Housing and us, because it took a lot. The two different agencies has to collaboratively work to provide that support, because it doesn't usually happen that way. But all of them recognized the need for this person, had been waiting for years for this kind of opportunity, and they all came to play. And it wouldn't have happened without the being able to have a house like that.
It's a wonderful story. Thank you so much.
Yes, and I also, I'd like to add too that the City of Quincy, as our partner, one of our partners, a major partner in this, has been so supportive and continues to support the work that NeighborWorks does, and is a friend of working too. So the City of Quincy Home, the Planning Department, the Affordable Housing Trust Committee, all donated and contributed to this project, and that involves a lot of collaboration, but it works. And the story you just told is so moving. And fortunately for us at NeighborWorks, we have a lot of stories like that, and that's what keeps us going, because it's challenging work, and its mission is really heartfelt, and that's what we do.
Donna, are there other projects in the works for people with other types of disabilities other than hearing issues?
We have some different projects in the works right now that are focused on seniors and working people, working middle class people, but I'm not quite sure exactly what we have. I don't believe that either one of those is in Quincy, because our geographic range has increased so much over the past year. We merged with Housing Solutions of Kingston, and that's given us a wider geographical area and many more units, many more tenants, but a lot more good stories.
Sure. The residents of this home on Bicknell Street, now, are they responsible for their own, say, daily activities like food shopping and going to the drugstore, if you will, and things like that? Or how is that handled?
Yeah, so the way it works is, you know, we are trying to enhance their independence to the best of our ability. So everything that they do in the house, where it comes to food shopping, to go to doctors, the pharmacies, so the social activities outside, and as you know, that most of them are prohibited or restricted during these days, but that's what they're supposed to be. It's not like somebody goes out and do the food shopping and bring it to them. That's not how it works. You know, they're supposed to go with them. And if you are in Quincy around, you would see that, you know, a lot of people, the deaf people, the deaf staff, you know, using sign language and going around the, going in the food stores and, you know, that selecting information. So, and then it become a little bit common sight right now in Quincy that people are really, really getting used to that. So because we do that, you know, their daily activities or daily living, they've been encouraged to participate to the best of their ability. And then we provide the support for them to continue to do that as independently as possible. And so one of the other things about Quincy that, like I said, you know, we have six group homes, you know, we do have four of them are deaf and hard of hearing.
Okay.
So one of them is Morton, one, two of them from we lease from NeighborWorks Housing, and the one we actually own, the other one is from the Quincy Housing Authority. So you imagine that these four houses in Quincy, we offer employment services to close to 40 people who are deaf and hard of hearing. And that's a great resources. You know, it has increased the compatibility of the community, and that provide such a great diversity to Quincy, and which is another thing that we can contribute to the community.
Yeah. Do you find that employers are open to hiring these folks?
So obviously we do, and then we have a lot of vacancies as well. Yes, we do. I think it's becoming more and more acceptable right now. And you know, as Work Inc. Name is Work Inc. One of the primary employment providers to people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. That's what the name is, working. You know, we do have, we have used the provisions from the federal government to take contract because it says that a certain percentage of the contract should be offered to small business with people who are disabled. So we have taken most of the federal buildings in Boston, cleaning contracts, janitorial contracts, maintenance contracts. Then we put in people who are different, you know, the individuals who are disabled, various different disabilities to work. And we do that. So we do have employment support systems where we go out and talk to people and the businesses, and then get jobs for them, and then help them maintain and manage that. So we become the liaison between the employer and the employee, so they don't have to worry about a whole lot of things. So that's been going on for the last 50 years.
Yeah. Don, I know that NeighborWorks, in addition to working with Work Inc., has developments on their own. For instance, the East Howard Street project here in Quincy for mixed income folks as well.
That's right. The East Howard Street for mixed income is a project we developed with Wynn. And yes, there are working folks in there. There are market rate units. And then there are people for... that the units are reserved for people who are less than 30% MFI, median family income. And there are income restrictions on all of our properties, more or less. And this one in Germantown, it has income guidelines also. But most, all of our people, basically fit into those guidelines.
So. Yeah, I was trying to think of the name. It's the Watson that I was trying to think
Watson.
Of.
Watson, and yeah. It's beautiful, very beautiful, yes.
How is the Winter Street development coming along?
The Lower Winter Street development,
yes.
It is coming along. We are working very hard on putting all the funding together for the building of one building, and taking down the housing stock that is, you know, very old and certainly not conducive to people who might have special needs. It's just I don't want to call it substandard, but it's a retrofit basically of older buildings, and we're looking forward to one building. With everybody having their own small studio. So we're, you know, we have a target date of spring for demolition for those buildings, and it's going well. It's going well.
Good, good. I know you're working, I think, a partnership with Father Bills and Mainspring on that, are you?
Father Bills and Mainspring is another one of our very productive partners. And truly, once again, they provide services to their tenants that we don't have the expertise to do. But we're together, we have access to funding that we can gather basically and put together a compatible package, more or less, that we can get work done.
Sure. You know, Rowan, I can't help but think, as you were describing some of the amenities of the Bicknell Street home, that that those would be, you know, pleasures even for folks without disabilities, you know, the comfortable bathrooms, the alerts when fire alarms go off. Do you think those will become mainstream someday?
I think that, you know, so one of the things that, you know, like, you know, we're talking about the housing, how the house should be modified for people don't have to move, you know, yes, those should be standard building codes, you know, when it comes to, I think it's been happening, you know, a lot, you know, that there's a lot of building code changes happening. I think the fire alarm system has been now, it's a strobe light fire alarm system as opposed to the sound only, because it has started happening right now. And then carbon monoxide and both of them are right now, you know, for the strobe light, you know, the system to, it's sort of a transfer to that. One of the things that, you know, the you asked whether you're going to be any new developments, you know, I haven't had a chance to actually, you know, make the phone call to Donna again. And Donna, I do have a place. We do a population of, like, you know, the folks who are, one of the things that you probably heard a lot about, folks who become dementia and the Alzheimer's. The housing, it's becoming real because it has to develop a specialized housing for the folks that like that. You need to consider the color coding of the housing, the depth perception and the accessibility and the similar stuff that we had put in place in Bicknell and then some. And so, and then it has to be, you know, how the floor should be designed, how the ceiling track system should be designed. So we have and when you come to development disability world, the certain folks that who are Down syndrome tend to have develop the Alzheimer's or the dementia pretty quickly. When that happens, you can understand that, you know, that we cannot send those folks to a different institution because that's the time they need the most support with the folks that they have been receiving support from. Because that's when we know when they cannot talk, when they smile, or when they look at you, we know what they want. Others don't. And if we cannot provide that, so.
Donna, the ball's in your court now. We're witnessing, a groundbreaking moment right here at ATV.
History in the making. Okay, that's a yes, and we're going to work on that.
Right.
Look at that, breaking news.
But really, it's an important part of the community. That is an important part of all of our communities because we know the population is aging, and it's a difficult, and I experienced it in my own family. It's a very difficult situation, and people need consistency. They need consistency when they're starting to kind of fall apart at the end of their lives.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, I think during this pandemic, especially, we have seen how important, you know, home is and how important a safe home is and a comfortable home as well.
One of the most important part of when people are aging or people are becoming certain, developing certain disabilities, for them to still feel like being independent. So they have to stay as independent as possible. So technology, modification of the house, those things come into play because of that. And then they can still feel like, you know, that they can continue to exist and continue to function the, just the way that they functioned before.
If folks would like to learn more about Work Inc., Rohan, what's the best way for them to do that?
So you can workinc.org, you know, we have a website, you know, that where they can go and take a look at it. Our office is actually in Boston right now. So you can call Work Inc. There's a general number, 617-691-1500. So then they will transfer you to the appropriate folks. So we provide residential placement, supported living placement for folks, and also employment opportunities, folks who are disabled. And so we also provide shared living placements for people who are developmentally disabled. So that's where you can get the information.
Great, thank you. And Donna for NeighborWorks.
Our main office is on Washington Street in Quincy, but at this time, very few of us are actually in the office. Our website is nhsmass.org, and our phone number is 617-770-2227. We continue to offer a lot of other services also. We have a first-time home buyers department that helps people get into their first homes, and it used to involve in-person classes, and now those classes are, of course, on Zoom. We have a housing development department. We do property management for some of our own properties. And like I said before, as we've merged with Housing Solutions, we offer rental assistance. We have a lot of other programs going on right now. Our website covers them all, so you can find out what you need there.
Okay, and I think it's important to point out that donations are accepted at both organizations. You're both
always
registered 501c3 corporations, so they're tax deductible as well.
Right, and there's a donate button on our website.
Great. Anything else we can touch on right now?
I just want to thank you for the opportunity for us to inviting us for this presentation, you know, that, and ability for us to, you know, just to talk about, you know, what we do and what we can do. And then so people can get to know what they have in their own community.
All right. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to both of you very much. We'll do it again in the future. I want to thank our interpreter, Julie, as well for signing this this program. So folks who are hearing impaired can enjoy it as well.
Thank you.